Okay, everybody. Let's get ready for the first session of Monday morning. And how do we do that? We take our seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so wonderful. Well, I guess this is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We're starting our fourth day. How many of you think you've been here for 2 weeks? You don't do anything and it's taxing. And so anyway, we have this morning Pep Waples. He has operates in the office of the evangelist and beyond. And as you heard a couple of somewhere along this way, God called him into to start holding Holy Ghost meetings out of the church. Now, he will do it in the church, folks, if you pastors. He will minister for you. But the point is, God has specifically called him out of the church into the marketplace with this, with the Holy Ghost revival meetings. And you can almost, in one aspect, look at him as a form of John the Baptist, except he doesn't have bugs in his whiskers. He doesn't even have whiskers. But anyway, he's actually one of the forerunners right now into these rural towns and bigger than rural, bringing the Spirit of the Living God and preparing a way, a road in the desert. So let's welcome Pep Waples.
God, is this thing on? There we go. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to have to request a step stool for this pulpit. So forgive me if I don't stay up here the whole time, because you won't be able to see me. You'll just hear a voice, and that's it. So, glory to God. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God that has come forth this week. We thank you, Father, this morning for the word coming forth. I ask you, Father, for utterance by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, for ears that hear, eyes that see, hearts that respond, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who is leading us, directing us, guiding us into truth, giving us truth, revealing what heaven has for us in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and we thank you, Father, for your goodness. You're so good to us, God. You're so good to us. We thank you. Glory to God. We worship you. Go ahead, lift your voice. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for the word that has come forth. We give you thanks for the outpouring of your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for unveiling heaven for us. Thank you, Father, for showing us how to war. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, the title of my message this morning is Weapons of War. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. When Pastor Bob read that scripture the other day, he opened it up and read it. At first, you know, the first few services, I'm like, I didn't hear any of the scriptures that I was going to use. And I thought, oh, man, did I miss God? I'm serious. I'm like, man, I don't hear any scriptures that it's on my notes, because I was kind of geared. I'm like, okay. Because usually it's like everybody uses the same scriptures and we just flow and bounce off. And I'm just like, it's not happening. So anyway, I'm not there yet. Here, I'm running my mouth. Glory to God. Okay, we're almost there. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter, chapter 10, starting in verse 3. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. We do not war. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Those are some powerful words. Oh, we're supposed to just love everybody. This is just all get along and coexist. Huh? Are those war words? Uh-uh. No. Let's go to one more scripture here. Well, here, let me before we go, we'll move on to this one here. So verse 3, it says, well, we do not war. It says we do not, the word there, or the translation of those words, means to wage war, fight, serve as a soldier. As Christians, we are soldiers for heaven. Soldiers are told what to do when they enlist. And we say, yes, sir. We go through training, basic training at AIT. And we learn how to use weapons. Depending, basic training, you learn how to use your basic weapon, which is the rifle. There's a basic weapon we have. Everybody has weapons from heaven. Verse 4, it says warfare. Warfare is literally warfare or military service. Verse 5, the word casting down. It means to pull down, to destroy, to demolish. Verse 6, the word punish. And this is what I like about this verse. It means give justice over. The world is depending on us to bring justice over darkness. It means to defend, and I like this one, avenge. Vindicate, retaliate. Now we're always told, oh, we have to love thy neighbor. Truth. We're to love thy neighbor and hate darkness. And when darkness attacks our neighbor, we are to retaliate. But where do you get your weapons of war? You get your weapons of war from the Helper, the Holy Ghost. And when you don't know what to do, the Bible says he's been given to us to reveal truth to us. Gavin, come here. Bring that up. In Ephesians, it talks about taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when you don't know what to do, you pray and pray and pray. Here, hang on, Gavin, come here. You're praying in the Holy Ghost because you don't know how to pray for things as you ought. And so you're praying, Karama soprende be di sikele brandamare di sikire, sabrande be kiste le brosto ramandele kiste, stobrande be kiste, stumandele brasa dala brese kire. And then your helper says, here, take this. It's not working, Gavin. See, then the helper comes and helps you when you don't know how to work it. Did I need to just jar it a little bit?
That's why it's not working.
Yeah. So your helper comes and he says to use this. Then you're supposed to wield your weapon. I don't know if you can hear it. You have weapons given to you by the Spirit. So why do you try to wage war with your soul? the weapons of your warfare are not mental. The weapons of your warfare is not a punch in the face to the guy who cut you off in traffic. I know the feeling. That's a struggle of mine. Sometimes the first words that come out of my mouth are, "You idiot! You idiot!" We have weapons of war. They've been given to us not in the mental realm. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Flip over a book. Thank you, Father. We have to learn how to use them. What has happened with many Christians is we get an inkling of something and then we run off and go do what we think we're supposed to be doing. And we miss the whole plan. Just because God gives you something in the Spirit and it's a sword of the Spirit, you don't always have to yell it out, blurt it out, jump it out. You need to ask your helper what to do next. Think of it like this. Come here, Brandy. Come here, Brandy. This is the only time I'm going to get away with this. Okay. Thank you for coming up here. I need a shield right now. So I'm sorry. So when your helper, the Holy Spirit, when you are warring together, when he hands you a weapon or he gives you a word, sometimes it'll be in conversation like this. Now, if Brandy confides in me something and says something, say we're in the middle of church, I don't stand up now and say, "Thus saith Brandy."
That's good. That's right. That's right.
I'm like, how are we going to handle that? We'll talk about it later. Okay. Are you with me here? It's learning to wield and use the weapons that, thank you, use the weapons that are given to us. Gavin, where's that other one at? Here's the other thing. Not all weapons are the same. We tend to take the first weapon that we ever used, and we want to use that in every battle. Clearly, I don't know how to use this weapon. When you should be learning how to use another weapon. This comes through constant relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I'm going to send you another helper." Why are we ignoring him? We have to. You say, "Well, I don't know how to do this. How to do this? How am I supposed to do this?" Talk to him. You pray in the Spirit and you pray with the understanding. You sing with the Spirit and you sing with the understanding. You have a conversation. One time I was in a place, I'm not even going to give this away, because some things that you're given by the Spirit, other people don't need to know about it. The people that need spectacular stuff and, "Oh, I just need this." If you're looking for manifestations of devils, you're one of those people that's, "See me, notice me, don't you want to get to know me?" If you're one of those "see me, know me" people, you will be used very little in the things of the Spirit. "That's not Bible." It sure is. Because God cares about people. And just because he reveals something to you by the Spirit does not mean it's time for you to yell it from the rooftops. Now you get with your helper and you say, "Well, okay, I see this. What now? What do I do with it? God, how is this working? What am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to address this?" If he gives you something, you are given permission to address it. But now you need to follow his direction in how to address it. How do I wield that weapon? So I was praying one time with a group of people that I thought were Christians, and they decided not to join in with me on this, but I had an urgency right now to pray. And they wouldn't pray with me. And I said, no, we have to pray. We have to pray right now. Okay. There was a barbecue. We were having a barbecue. They wouldn't. And so I just said, oh, rabasate me di shikila brandase di la branda mandoro boso sebe di la carabardoso. Got down on my knees right now. Just started praying. Immediately, I saw a person's face. And I heard one word, suicide. That was it. So I started coming against suicide over that person. And I asked for a laborer to be sent to them. To make a long story short, I got done praying. Everyone was gone. They didn't pray with me. They just left. Sometime later, that person came to see me, and I knew what was going on in their life. So I just asked them. I knew because of praying. I'd seen their face, right? Now, when you see them, they're like, da, 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 everything's great. So I asked them, how are things going? Oh, not so good. They finally started opening up. Not so good. About such and such a time, I was in my place, and I was sitting there with a gun in my mouth, ready to pull the trigger. And they said, all of a sudden, somebody came to the door, tut, 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 yelling their name. Are you okay? God sent me here. Are you okay? Your weapon. Sabras suturo bras sedile, telebrande le brasso, rasa trasi chi te labrosso to sho, si te labrande badasta tele, tishtene mandrosso. They said I put the gun in the closet and I haven't touched it since. That person to this day does not know what God gave me for them. You just have to war. Caring for people, warring against darkness. That being said, a few days ago, actually I was praying about this service, and thank you, Lord, for helping me with this. God gave me something that I believe is, I don't know if you're here or not, and it's a sensitive topic. Ryan touched on it a few nights ago, talking about barrenness. Pastor Rusty had him come up last night. So, see, the thing, when I got this a few days ago, I had this in my heart, and I didn't know what to do with it. So, when Pastor Ryan was talking about barrenness, I went immediately to the inside. Well, is he covering it? Is this it? Do I say something? Do I go talk to Pastor Ryan? Do I, whatever. Prayer lines up. Talked with Pastor. And he said, you'll know what to do. Thanks. So I just held on to it. So then Pastor Rusty gets up last night and has him come up. I looked to the inside again. Is it being covered? Is this it? What would I say? Didn't have an unction to go up. So this morning as I'm praying, I'm like, God, was this thing covered? And when I asked that, I saw a different image. So I know it's not covered, so I want to give you a demonstration of what I saw and then what to do with it. Well, first let me describe. No. So I saw this woman like this. Just absolutely weighted down with grief, sorrow. And a few days ago, what I got was there's someone, I don't know if you're here, if you're on the internet, but you've had multiple miscarriages. And you have been weighted down with the heaviness and weightiness of grief. And And there is a heaviness and weightiness of death. This is nothing of you. You have to know that, whoever you are. This is nothing of you. Now, you're someone who wants to have a baby, and you've gotten to the point of not just giving up on babies, you've gotten to the point of giving up in general. Now, outwardly, people see you and they think, there's nothing wrong. Here's how I'm going to deal with this. Because I know this is, I feel like I'm supposed to lay hands on you. But knowing the nature of this topic and what it does to someone, because the church has a history of killing their wounded, we don't know how to help people that are hurting properly. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to have you come up here. If you're on the internet and this is you that I'm speaking to, you can send Pastor Jeremy an email and he will keep it absolutely private. It's Pastor Jeremy at BFBC. Jeremy at BFBC.tv. So if that's you, send him an email and we will pray for you, or we can work a time to get together and lay hands on you unless you're too far away. If you're in here today, send an email to Jeremy at bfbc.tv and we will schedule a time to meet and I will pray with you then. Not alone. Me and Brandy will be there, or somebody, Terry, whatever. But I wanted you to see this because the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty. But we have to learn how to use them. We have to learn how to walk in them. I'm not looking for a result to vindicate what I got in the spirit. I don't need to be justified or made to look good or over spiritual. That's not faith. If I have to see the result, then I'm not walking by faith. I've learned to trust the Spirit of God in me. Because greater is He who is in me than he that is in this world. And if He shows me something, He sees the big picture. I don't need to see some girl up here bawling her eyes out in front of 300 people. Are you here? We have to get over ourselves. You want to be used in the Spirit more? You want to be used by the Holy Ghost more? You got to not want to be seen. Forget about being visible. You need to be invisible. Jesus stepped through the crowd to get to the one man and says, do you want to be made whole? I don't know. He heard the man's heart cry. Helped him. He didn't just want to say, see everybody? You don't need the pool. Now if the Lord would have told him to preach, he would have preached. But there was not that direction. Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Glory to God. Sorry, I know we were going to Corinthians, but let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm going to say this about putting on the armor of God. Years ago, we were told, yeah, every morning you get up and you put on the breastplate of righteousness. You put on and you put them on. People, you've done nothing at all. You don't sit here, oh, ready for the day. No. That's a physical act, and the Bible says our weapons are not physical. They're spiritual. If you want weapons of war, you need to be in church, because that's where you're going to get weapons. I'm taking this one to the internet. Now, I know it's Monday morning, but Sunday morning, you need to be at your church, because weapons come from the anointed preacher preaching the word of God that becomes light to you. It becomes a weapon to you, and now you have something to wield. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That actually means that faith comes by hearing the anointed word coming from the preacher. That's a nutshell of it. The anointed preacher preaching the word of God under the anointing is when you get faith. That's why we have to have ears that hear and eyes that see. What am I supposed to see? Eyes are supposed to look past the humanity of anything you see and look at the spiritual content. Sometimes we look, oh, I just don't like the way they blah, 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 whatever. Put it, fill in the blank. Okay, Ephesians. Verse 10 or verse 11. It's put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist, having already girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Gavin, let me see that sword again. Thank you, sir. Taking the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. Amen. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oop. Okay, there we go. So the soldier in Ephesians chapter 6 here is describing, Paul is describing someone who is absolutely ready for war. They're already girded. They already have their stuff on. They walk around with their sword. And when it's needed, they have it. When they see the enemy, they actually, the whole phrase there with wrestle not against flesh and blood, it's a term that was used to describe what they did in the Colosseums. In the Colosseums, these prisoners would get together and they would fight until there was one winner. And so he said, having done all to stand, and the word stand, it means to stand there with your foot on your on the head of your dead enemy. He's giving a description of a battle where there was only one winner. Do you understand? You're in a battle where there was only one winner. One. This is the seriousness of the battle. Here's the good news. Jesus overcame the world. And if you stay in him, you'll be the one standing with your head, with your foot on the head of your dead enemy. But you're going to have to learn how to war. You're going to have to learn how to wield these weapons. You're going to have to learn how to do this. So they get together in the Colosseums, and they win. They'd have a boxing match and a wrestling match. And then at the end, they'd get the champions of the wrestling and the champion of the boxing. They'd get together and they would fight until there was one winner. One. This is the battle that you are in. This is the battle that your neighbor is in. We don't have the time anymore to sit around and talk about vacations and leave the Holy Ghost out of our planning. I'm not saying you can't plan a vacation, but you need to insert the Holy Spirit to say, okay, when, where, and should I? He's for you. He's for your family. He'll take care of you. But you have to understand there's a bigger thing in the works here. Just look around. Anybody who's even halfway alert can tell that something is stirring spiritually that's massive. Tell you something that happened for me when COVID first hit and everybody was wearing masks, it really alerted me to one thing. If the Antichrist was to show up on the scene today, if the church was taken out of here, us, glory, oh, hallelujah, we'd be rejoicing, yay, we're in heaven. But if Jesus would have came back, raptured the church out and left, all those people that put on those face masks like this and responded in fear, those would have been the first ones to take the mark of the beast. That's how it hit me. And now you got people, you know, being pushed to take an experimental thing. It's not going there, but you understand what I'm saying? Out of fear. Fear of losing their job. Fear of losing their health. Fear, 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 fear. Who through all their lifetime, when fear comes, who through all their lifetime are subject to bondage. We need to war with the gifts of the Spirit. The helper is the holder of your weapons of war. He will show you not only which one to use, but then how to use it. So in Ephesians in verse 10, the word power there means this. It means the ability or force to overcome immediate resistance. Immediate. When he says to be strong in the Lord in verse 10, he means to fill with power, to make strong. It means to empower or give you the strength that you need. Excuse me. Verses 13 through 17, the way he describes this is you need to be as prepared as a soldier who is ready for war. You have to be that prepared. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oops. This whole thinking of, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to preach. I don't know what, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Stop it. You have a helper. That I don't know, I don't know, I don't know is a lame, selfish excuse. Selfish. Because you're not grabbing a hold of your helper to go out and preach the gospel in all the world. You'll make mistakes. You will. Who cares? At least you're going somewhere. Okay. Starting in verse 9, say, I'm in the wrong place. There we go. That's where. It's in chapter 2, right? Verse 9. Eye has not seen nor ear heard nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But, and here's why this is not an excuse to say I don't know. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And he says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak. Now look at this. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. When he gives you a spiritual word, it's a spiritual weapon, you have to speak. Your speaking is your wielding. You take this weapon and you start speaking it. You start speaking it over circumstances. You start speaking it over people. You start speaking it over the lives that are around you. Now, I said you're going to make mistakes, and I want to give you a mistake that I made so that you can know it's okay. We're all working this out. None of us are Jesus. He walked perfectly. We won't. So I was in a Holy Ghost meeting in Cheyenne a few weeks ago, or a few months ago now, a couple months ago. And there was a couple there that I started ministering to by the Spirit. They looked kind of older, and I was ministering to them first night. Second night, they sat over here on this side. I guess they were trying to get away from me. So the second night, I go over and start ministering to the couple, and I'm ministering to them. But this time, I'm ministering to the wife. And on the inside of me, I heard this phrase, tell her, he's all right, your baby's okay. And immediately, I went to my thoughts, my soul. And I looked at this couple and I thought, well, first of all, I've been ministering to him this whole time. That's how am I, this looks bad. Now, you can be spiritual and soulish at the same time. So I'm walking in the Spirit, but I'm also arguing in my soul with the Holy Ghost. And I said, but I've already preached to them a whole bunch already. What am I? And besides that, they look too old to have a baby. The guy had a long gray beard. So my head went, they look too old to have a baby, because the word was, tell her, he's all right, your baby's okay. And I reasoned and I reasoned and I reasoned, and finally I said, I just ministered what I had and I walked away. That was the second night. Third night, they didn't show up. So third night, we get done with the meeting, and I asked the couple that invited me, I said, hey, was the couple here that you wanted, you were hoping to get ministered to, did they ever show up? Oh, yeah, that was the first couple you started ministering to that night. And they were over here, too, that night. They were here. I said, oh, praise the Lord. Well, then she starts telling me the backstory of this couple. They had a 22-year-old son who was raised in a Christian home who somehow got addicted to opioids and died of a drug overdose in their home. And she found him. Every mother, their babies don't grow up. That little boy was her baby. Now, God ministered to them. But for me, I'm like, she needed that. She needed that. Because can you imagine, as a Christian parent, raising your kid in a Christian home, they get addicted to drugs and they die in that drug use. I know my thought would be, oh Lord. And then the devil comes on and helps you out. That's why that woman's so beat down. Whether she's in here or not, I don't care. I don't need that proof. I saw. I know. And God will deliver you. Let me just say this, too, in regard to that woman. The power of God is available to free you. So, when you make mistakes, it's okay. Because what happened was, I found out, I talked with the couple later, and they had come up to the couple that had invited me and said, what did you tell him? Nothing. Nothing? You didn't tell him nothing? We didn't tell him a thing. I didn't even know they were there. It's the wisdom of that couple. So they said, are you sure you didn't tell him? We didn't tell him anything. Well, we just needed to know what he said was of the Spirit of God. They said, well, it was, because we didn't tell him anything. So I still don't know who they are, haven't met them or whatever, but I know the Spirit of God ministered to them. Now you've got to get bold. You've got to start grabbing a hold of the Holy Spirit and then start asking him questions. Start talking to him. When he reveals something, you don't always have to blurt it and shout it from the rooftops. You just have to address it by the Spirit, because where you're seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. That is the place of authority. And the only one who needs to see you is him and the forces of darkness. He sees and he directs. They see and fear. Glory to God. You get anything out of this? Thank you, Father. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's just stand to our feet. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's just begin to pray in the Spirit. Que le brasso robre sebe de la brande. Beridilo brosso robre de la brande basso ramende. Crabrosse de le. Si di brando lo bro remeki. Que la branta lo brosso di. E la branda lo brosso ghiere calabro rabrasse rabrasso rondo la carorossi. Burondo lo brede. De la branda bede sigre. Sto lo brodo balora. Se de la branda badissi chichere calabrora. Rasside. De la brando rogone mende zighesi chirere. Zassinde la brongo gosso corra bala disse. De la rasso corra dele. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Celebrante bene sucura. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Do you have something? Okay. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Let me just take, I'm going to look to the inside again just really quick. See, this is something that if you'll do, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, immediately, just look to the inside. Right. You got to understand, this isn't rocket science. We're nothing special. We've tended to, as ministers, to over-exaggerate and glorify what God gives us. It's okay to amplify, but you don't over-exaggerate. Amplifying is so that you can see it better. Glorifying simply makes me look better. I'm not after that. So when you look to the inside, you're looking to your spirit. You're looking to your inward man. And yes, you'll use your soul because you're going to have your intellect is involved in it. You know, you can ask questions. One last thing I'll share with you really, really quick. Because the reason I started doing Holy Ghost meetings is because we went down, family sent us down to Tennessee to a minister's conference, and we really went on direction that they were sending us. They wanted to send us somewhere. Okay, we'll go. We ended up going. Well, a year prior to that, I had seen myself preaching in hotel ballrooms, and that's when COVID was in full bore. Nobody was open. Hotels were closed. Restaurants were closed. Everything. And I saw myself preaching in a hotel ballroom, and I thought, that makes zero sense. No one's even open. And I mean, it was like, wham, that thing just shut off. So a year later, I mean, I didn't think of it again because literally the door closed on that thing. To be honest, looking in retrospect, I think I for lack of a better word, offended the Holy Ghost. He's trying to show me something. And I said, that's ridiculous. Okay. So I'm in this hotel room. I walk into this conference, I walk in, and here it is. This is exactly what I'd seen a year prior. The lights, the chairs, there's cameras set up, everything. I saw the whole thing. I'm like, oh. And then wise me says, but that still doesn't explain why I should be having meetings, Holy Ghost meetings in a hotel ballroom. Oh, you're smart, Pep. See, you'll walk it out. You'll walk it out. And God is so good because he revealed to me the purpose and answer when I was in there. So this guy's preaching. You can have a seat. Sorry. I'm just about done. This guy's preaching and he's coming along. He says, it was in a Holy Ghost meeting. And he says, this man came up in the meeting to get prayer. And then he stopped. He says, now I didn't know this at the time. But the man had open heart surgery 2 weeks prior to that, and he had a hole in his chest about this big that wasn't closing. He said, so he comes up, and I just saw myself go right in the middle of his chest. Now, we're in a minister's conference, and all the ministers did the same thing. Ooh. Or, I was one of them. I did it. I went, yee. I cringed. And as soon as he did that, and we all cringed, he goes, and that's why you're not having a move of the Holy Ghost in your churches, because you won't allow the Holy Ghost to do what he wants to do. And I went, now, at the same time, he's preaching that. Brandy's sitting right next to me, but in my peripheral, I see a row of chairs, much like the empty ones over here. And there's a man sitting in front of it, and I knew on the front row, and I knew that man was a pastor. And in his heart, he was saying, as this was going on, he was saying, oh, God, don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Oh, God, don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Oh, God, don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Then I knew this is all going on simultaneously. I knew that's why I can't have Holy Ghost meetings in churches. One meeting I was in not too long ago, I just found out there was a pastor at a meeting. We were talking about the Holy Ghost. This pastor got filled with the Holy Ghost. Went back to his church right here in North Dakota. Whew. That church is going to be different. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of this today? Praise the Lord. Pastor.
See you in 10 minutes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If it ministered to you, please share it with a friend. You play a vital role in helping us fulfill the vision God gave to reveal a friend in this region. For more information, please visit BreakForthBibleChurch.com.